Hey, y'all. You're listening to Chiclet and Libations. We're your hosts, Amanda
and Tony,
and we're bringing you all the best in spicy books that we love to read. This week, we are discussing Neon Gods by Katie Robert, which is the first book in the Dark Olympus series and is a modern-day retelling of Hades and Persephone. Thanks for joining us, and let's explore the underworld.
Every episode, we'll pair a book and a drink. For Neon Gods, we've created Sweet Heat, which contains bourbon, Kinky brand vodka, pomegranate juice, lime juice, maple syrup, rimmed with the black sugar and a twist of lime. You can find this recipe on our Instagram page at Chiclet and Libations. Cheers! Cheers.
For those of you who haven't read this book yet, be aware that we will be discussing the book in detail, so this is your official spoiler alert. Trigger warning, this book does contain light BDSM material. In Neon Gods, Persephone unwillingly becomes engaged to Zeus and decides to flee this power-hungry god. In her escape, she unknowingly runs to Hades, whom she doesn't know exists. They strike up a deal to keep Zeus away and fall in love in the process, exploring their sexuality all along the way.
Yes, they do.
Okay, this book.
It's gonna be like hot, hot, hot.
We're just gonna dive right
all
in.
The peppers.
All of the peppers. This book hooked me by like page 25.
Page 25, that's really early.
Yeah, I'm like 25, 30. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
So is that when Persephone kind of made her flee?
Yep.
Or okay.
Yep. It's like exactly the part that hooked me. And then like, boom, she just runs quite literally smack dab into Hades. Into this. He was like a cloaked figure, right?
He's a cloaked figure standing on the opposite side of the river Styx. Mm-hmm. And she's got to cross the bridge because he can't cross it for her.
That's like part of their whole
and he goes,
agreement.
Come. And she, like, runs for him, like, bloodied feet and everything, yeah. And she just launches herself at him.
He says, come, and she's like, say less.
say less.
No, I don't know what it was about that, but yeah, just the, like, the thrill of her, like, running. Is she going to get across the Styx or not? And then just, like, she just very much threw caution to the wind and took her shoes off. And yeah, her feet are like totally cut up.
Well, like, didn't she like break a heel or something like that? And she was trying to run in heels away from Zeus's henchmen who were chasing her, basically.
Yes.
Scaring the living daylight out of her.
Yeah. And it's like, I imagine that at nighttime. I don't know if it was.
Well, it was because they were at a party that she didn't know became her engagement party to Zeus. She's like 20.
Yeah, she's like
something 23, 24,
early 20s.
And he's like north of 60, they say. So
yeah,
I'm
I was
like,
gonna
ew.
Say, he's like a gross, dirty old man. And
I don't mean to like, you know, yuck on somebody who loves the large age gap like that, but it's just not my
thing. I mean, hey, everyone is entitled to their own preferences. That's definitely not what we're.
But also he's a monster.
Yeah, he's like Zeus and he's disgusting. And
we're assuming that based on the text, he's killed his last three wives.
Yeah, I was gonna say, this is going to be his fourth era, right? Hera, H-E-R-A.
Yeah, Hera, H-E-R-A.
Yeah, so that's just like the overall term. You think it's Hera?
Hera.
Like,
I believe.
Hair of the dog.
I could be wrong. Like, hair of the dog.
Like, hair of the dog. Or
I mean, you say Hades. So
true.
I think maybe
Yeah,
Hera.
And if it was Hera, then it would be like Hermes. E-R-A. Like,
and Hermes is not, Hera. I don't think it's like Hermes, like the bag. I think it's Hermes.
Hermes.
So I'm going to say the H in Greek mythology maybe is a hard H.
Hard H.
Hard.
A lot of things get hard in this book. So she is just running full speed to cross the bridge over the river Styx and is just trailing blood the whole time. But her adrenaline is on, you know,
high.
Level 100.
It's on
and she doesn't
save
even.
My life
yeah,
adrenaline.
She's like, I've got to get out of here. I've got to get away from them. Or like the end of my life as I know it, basically. Like,
yeah.
You know, quote
and
unquote.
That's within the first 25 pages.
Yeah. And that's why it hooked me by page 30.
I mean, she definitely went right into like the action. It was not a delayed storyline. Mm-hmm. It was like, hey, we're here and here's the story and this is what's happening.
Yep.
But I liked that because it gave more room for everything else that was to come and building the love story for Hades and Persephone.
totally agree. And I really enjoyed like the action parts of this book, and I wasn't really like anticipating that. So it was kind of like a nice plus, you know, like the more like intense scenes. And then, I don't know, I just think she did a really good job of weaving it all together in this book. I mean, there's so many things that I could say about this. And I feel like we're going to go over an hour. So we'll just see.
It might be a long podcast today.
I mean, how many pages of notes over there?
I've got 2 pages in my notebook, an extra page in a different notebook.
You've got like sticky notes, you got post-its, you got two tabs in my book.
I mean, it's a mess on this side of the table.
I count on that though. Like I literally have my Kindle and 3 highlighted quotes in my Kindle. Everything else is all up here in the noggin.
All up there. Well, that's good. It's good that you've got it somewhere.
Yeah. So, okay. So we've covered the start of the book.
Yep.
What was the part that hooked you the first time around you read it? Because this was the second time you read it.
Yeah, this was a reread for me, which I was not sad about or mad about at all because I read
totally
this book
and
I was literally like, I need somebody I know to read this book so that I can talk about it with somebody. Because at the time, everybody I asked, have you read Neon Gods? Nobody had.
Yeah.
So I did a reread to make sure I was like up to date on all of the best information for our conversation tonight. But
yeah.
I loved it the first time. I loved it the second time. I'm keeping the book. I'm sure I'm going to read it again. Maybe not within like 3 months like I did this last time. Because I think I read it in January. So like early January, I think. But I think for me, it was, I mean, I can't say what initially hooked me right off the bat. Mm-hmm. But like I appreciated so much of how Katie like handles all of the sex stuff. Like, so there's some light BDSM, but public. This book is very much a opportunity for Persephone to explore her sexuality in like a new way. Like she's in her 20s. Right. She doesn't really know what she wants in the bedroom, but she's got things that she knows about that have excited her.
Right.
And all along Hades is like, he's a cinnamon roll, right? Like, so if you know tropes at all, cinnamon roll is like a guy that kind of has like a tougher exterior, but is just ooey gooey gushy on the inside.
Yep.
She comes to him with bloodied feet and he carries her and without even thinking twice. Like she's nothing. Like, oh, you're a feather. Let me just pick you up and stick you in my pocket. He didn't really put her in her pocket, but I just feel like that he could have. She's so light because
cute little Persephone pocket instead of a Polly pocket.
Polly pocket. But that's one of the things they talk about is she's so like waif thin because she has not been taking care of herself.
She's not eating. Yeah, she's ignoring her own physical bodily needs.
So he's like bandaging her feet and like telling her not to walk on his carpets because she might ruin his floors.
Yeah,
and she's like,
he has OCD.
Your floors. You've got this love relationship with your floors. Yeah. Because I don't want you to bleed on him. Sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. but I just feel like he handled her with such care. So he allowed her to explore everything she wanted to, but in a safe way and in her own time.
Yeah.
So for instance, there's a scene when he's like, if we're going to make this deal, we'll get back to this. We'll go back to the striking up a deal. But
yeah.
So if we're going to make this deal, it needs to be that everybody knows that you're with me so that Zeus will get off your back. So
has to be public.
Well, and his kink is that he likes public sex.
Public sex. Yeah.
He has a stage and a viewing room in his house. So, he's very much into that. And so he leads her down there and she fully expects the first time that they're together that she's going up on this stage to have sex in front of everybody because that's the rumor. And he's like, the first time they go up, there's nobody else in the room. He's like, I just wanted you to get the experience of the room. Mm-hmm. And then he still makes her come. Like he fingers her and it's glorious. And then the next time that they're in the room, like they're not up on stage, but she keeps thinking that they're going up there and he's like, you know, not until you're ready, but he doesn't say not until you're ready. He kind of makes it sound like it was his idea.
Yeah.
Like I'm not ready.
Yeah.
So he's like protecting her from being embarrassed or anything from saying I'm not quite ready to go there or whatever.
Right.
So I really liked how he was gentle with her in that way. And you know,
he was so good about like guiding the whole thing. That's what she said.
He puts the sensual in consensual.
Yeah, he does. That was good. I like that. Definitely quoting that later. No, just throughout the whole story, though, like, he is so good at just guiding the whole, like, experience. And like you said, just from the minute he literally laid eyes on her and he was like, come, she's like, okay.
Well, I mean, she was like bloody. Yeah, she was like fearing for her life. It really wasn't a sexual thing. But it was still so hot that he was like, the first word out of his mouth to her was
super hot.
And does that not explain the rest of their months together that honestly, they have? Honestly,
you could stop the book right there.
That's it. Done.
The end. Come.
He said come. She did a bunch of times and the book is over.
And again and again and again and again.
Okay. So I actually, I wrote down every, like a little snippet about every sex scene and there were 10.
Okay. 10?
Really? There were 10 sex scenes in this book. So sometimes when you open like a spicy book, like you might get 3, 4, maybe 5.
Yeah, I feel like that's more.
6. That's how much was in this. And now I didn't count it as a separate experience if it went from chapter to chapter.
Okay.
So like there are some where it starts with Hades' perception and then it switches to Persephone's.
Yep.
And I'm just considering that one.
Yeah, because it doesn't, there's no like time lapse in between the chapters like some books do have. Right.
It's just a different experience. So I didn't count that as a separate.
Which honestly, I kind of liked that. I think this was one of the first types of books that I read with dual point of views that did it in the bedroom all, as well, but also like didn't skip forward in time or anything, or even like go backwards for that matter. It just was like cohesive timeline. So I did like that. Okay, so there were 10.
There were 10. So also, I don't know how much you know about like Greek mythology.
Not a lot. Yeah.
I don't know a bunch. So I'm like gonna
high school.
We're gonna probably butcher some names here when we
disclaimer,
share.
Disclaimer, don't take our pronunciation as
but the I remembered learning somewhere along the way that Persephone's safe word, which is pomegranate, that there was something about Persephone and pomegranates, and so I went and looked it up because I kind of rabbit trailed on some of this stuff when I was
awesome. I love it.
Yeah, and so pomegranate seeds were actually, and like I found multiple ways of telling the story, but it essentially was like Hades dragged Persephone down to the underworld. She fell in love with him because he wasn't as bad of a guy as everybody thought he was. Mm-hmm. But her mom was mourning her, and stopped growing everything on the earth. Well, she's the goddess. Demeter is the goddess of gathering and growing and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that meant basically winter.
Okay.
So the summer is, so six seeds is the 6 months that Persephone divides between the underworld and the earth world. I don't know if it's outer world. I don't know what they call it. I forget. But so you get like your spring and your summer and everything when everything's growing, those 6 months. And then she's got 6 months in the winter and the fall and the winter when she's actually back in the underworld. Huh. So I thought that was really fascinating. But lots to know about.
Push your mic up a little more. I was just trying to make sure you're being heard. I was just looking at the size of your voice.
The size of my voice.
Anyways, okay, that's really cool. So you said the 6 seeds in the pomegranate represent the six months.
So she took 6 seeds and that became the 6 months. But later on, it becomes the 6 appearances that Demeter and Persephone make a deal upon that Hades will show up and act as though he's in alliance with Demeter.
Yeah, that's so, at the
like,
very end.
So they incorporated it all the way around in like Katie Roberts did read that. Ugh.
Words are hard.
I'm all excited about this book. Can you tell? Like,
we can't talk about it fast enough.
But I think that's one of the things is that she was able to incorporate that really well because she, like, is it perfect Greek mythology? No. But it's a retelling. Nope. It's not meant to line up, right? And honestly, if it were perfect, I wouldn't know the difference because I really don't remember that much about Greek mythology. But I thought that was a really interesting way that they...
That she incorporated that.
That she incorporated that.
Yeah. I wasn't sure where you were going with the seed thing. I wonder like were pomegranate seeds considered like an aphrodisiac or whatever. And then like my mind jumped to the whole like Didn't the Greek, like, goddesses back then put, like, atropine drops in their eyes to dilate their pupils to make them look more desirable?
I have no idea. What
I'm pretty sure I read that.
Atropine drops, like...
Oh, I forget. You're non-medical.
I'm not medical.
Well, atropine dilates, and so it... If you put it in your eyes, then it will dilate your pupils, and then you look more like enticing when your pupils are dilated, I guess. I'm pretty sure I read that, but again, don't fact check. Please, whatever you
don't
do.
Don't come at us with all of your, this is actual Greek mythology.
Yeah, we've given you the disclaimer, okay?
That is the disclaimer. We don't know. You've got a couple amateurs here giving their best shot.
It's not our forte, okay? Spicy books are, but not Greek mythology.
Love the spicy books.
So that's cool. I like that.
Yeah, I just thought it was a very interesting little bit of information. But again, like, I rabbit shit because I didn't remember the story, but it piqued my interest enough for me to go and look for it. The other thing that made me pique my interest... Mm. When it came to this is the scene at the pet store.
Yes.
Yeah. So again, Hades is a fucking cinnamon roll.
Puppies. Puppies everywhere.
Persephone says he should take puppies home because she's going to be leaving soon and he needs somebody to take up all that space in the house. Yeah. So he takes all three puppies.
Yeah. He's
that
like,
are available.
Yeah. He doesn't just be like, okay, I'll take this one. He's like, I'll take all three.
Yep.
And the pet store owner is like, are you sure? I think you're going to want to rethink that. Like,
she's like, don't come crawling to me with
three puppies home, especially when they get to teething. Okay.
Like they were just old enough to be weaned basically. Uh-huh. And as somebody who recently had a puppy in the house, I mean, I still do. He's only 10 months now, almost 10 months. So I know. But yeah, I remember all of the teething and everything that he tore up. Just one. I can't imagine three. Although like my happy dreams are like where I'm just playing in a field with puppies and they're all well behaved and stuff.
Give me all the puppies. all the dogs, honestly. It doesn't even have all to be puppies. Just dogs.
So just dogs. They get home and Persephone is like, you need to name your dogs.
Yeah.
And so he goes Cerberus for one of the names.
Yeah, he's like the leader of the three puppies, right? Yeah.
So in Greek mythology, Cerberus is a three-headed dog.
Really?
That is Hades' dog. Now, in some tales, it looks like some say he's like a 50-headed or a multi-headed dog. But
50
most of the stuff that I found refer to him as a three-headed dog. So then I was like, well, then where did they come up with Cilia? And I'm probably, again, saying these names wrong. But Cilia and Charybdis? What? I don't know.
Because Persephone named those two.
She named those two.
Yeah.
And they're sea monsters, actually. Huh. But they're known for their role in, like, Odysseus' story. Mm-hmm. But being caught between these sea monsters is basically saying you're choosing the lesser of two evils.
Huh.
So your decision has to be, you know, go towards this sea monster or go towards the other, right? Like, you're choosing which one is worse. But I thought that was really interesting because is that not what she was trying? It's not what Persephone was having to try to figure out.
Yeah.
Is exactly Hades actually, like, evil? Mm-hmm. Would I be trading a gilded cage in the upper city for this gilded cage in the lower city?
Yeah, lower city underworld.
So she was still, like, debating. But I just thought that was interesting and worth pointing out.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love all the research that you did. Love it.
Sometimes I like research. I should have done enough research to learn how to say all these names, but I did not. So...
Apples and oranges, you know, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the names I'm positive I've mispronounced in my head when I was reading it is the youngest sister. I pronounce it Eurydice.
Eurydice.
Which sounds strikingly similar to uterus, so I'm pretty sure that's not how it's pronounced.
I think I was saying like Eurydice, but Eurydice.
Eurydice?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good one.
But like every time I would read it in my head, I was saying Eurydice and I'm like, uterus. That's really not probably how it's. But like the other two of her sisters, I can get fine. Psyche and
Callisto.
Callistro.
Calistro.
That's what my spelling
There's
is.
There's an R in yours?
Yeah.
Mine says, I'm pretty sure mine says Callisto.
Mine's Calistro. Almost positive.
Interesting.
Are you looking up the pronunciation?
Yeah, I have to know.
So yours says Callisto?
Callisto. Eurydice.
Okay, so we were both wrong.
Eurydice. Well, I was not anticipating I was going to be right about that one.
I was very wrong about that. Eurydice.
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 No, but I think that's awesome. Yeah, we definitely should have looked up how to say these things. I have Callisto. I don't have an R in here. C-A-L-L-I-S-T-O. Callisto.
I swear my version says Callistro.
Maybe.
I could be wrong.
I mean, you're reading the audio. I mean, the Kindle, so maybe.
You never know.
It's a different spelling. Yeah.
Wow, that's a good line. Sorry, I got distracted.
Yeah, tell us your line.
Well, that just really dives right into the heat part of
Bring
the
it. This is a heat. This is a heat-filled podcast. Well, no. We're in the underworld, right? It's all hot.
That's right. Oh, like every single chapter has something hot about it. One of the highlighted quotes I have on my Kindle is, "He might be going down on me, but Hades does it like it's purely for his pleasure. Somehow that makes the entire experience that much hotter."
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, like, fucking real man. Enjoy it, guys. Like,
real
come
man
on.
Right now. Right thou.
Right thou.
Surreal man, right thou. I meant right there.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite sex scene? Was there one specifically that, like, ooh, ooh la la?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think I had, like, necessarily a favorite sex scene per se, but... per se, Persephone. I can't help it.
I think we've already had too much to drink. This is a little bit more powerful.
We are only 23 minutes in. I don't know. It's hard for me to pinpoint because I really liked aspects of multiple sex scenes. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if like one was like my favorite. I don't know. I really liked the one towards the end where she like, they're in the playroom or whatever. I think they're still in the shadows though. And she gives him head and then he's like, he has this way of like stopping things so abruptly when she's doing something to him.
He like and prevents then, like, himself from coming yeah, how many times?
The control
he's like, oh,
this
it's
man
all about
has.
Her. I'm like, what the? I
the don't control
know any
this
man.
Man has.
I don't know any man.
And then he just like turns it right off. And I'm like, and then he's like, basically they swap positions and he was like up. So she like gets off of her knees and she takes her turn in the throne.
Okay. So,
and then he goes down on her.
Yeah. But this was such a power play, right? Like it was like yeah. the sex was hot.
Yes.
But also it was very much, they were very public. The all eyes were on them at this point.
Yeah.
He,
I know. Sorry. I kind of like skipped right to the end.
No, that's what I asked for your favorite scene. Like yeah. if it's at the end, like let's do
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So let's he puts her on his throne.
Yep.
When he goes down on her and then he like picks up and she like, he twirls her around and he is like, this is your dark princess. I am hers and she is mine.
Yep. And then he carries her back.
Yeah. And then he's like, show's over.
Leaves.
And then they're done.
Hope you enjoyed the show. Bye.
And then they go back into the room and I think he fucks her against the dresser because
yeah, that's
she's
the dresser
like,
scene.
What?
Yeah.
And they had like no time to wait because, and I counted no. those as two separate scenes because they were
yeah,
two
no,
locations.
Definitely two different scenes.
But yes, like.
But that particular part of it, yeah, I was like, just the way he like. Like I said, the control that he has is so hot. It's
yeah.
so sexy. And then just the fact that he's like, he's enjoying himself up until like a certain point and then he just shuts it down and then he prioritizes her in every
scene,
situation. Every single
whether they're
time.
In public or in private.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. He treats her the same.
He's like, yep. I want to make sure that everything's good and that you're comfortable and safe.
Yeah. And again, like,
and then she
consent,
always feels safe with him.
Yep. Consent every single time.
Every time.
Of course they come up with a safe word, which clearly she never had to use.
Never.
But it's interesting that you bring up the history behind the pomegranate, though, because I feel like that's the only reason they put that in there.
I'm sure.
Wasn't ever going to use it as a safe word, but it has that tie-in to it.
So I wondered sometimes, like, so this is not a realm I'm familiar with. I'm not familiar with the BDSM stuff.
Me either.
It's not my flavor.
This is new horizon.
Now, it was hot in here, but also there wasn't, like, much tying up or anything like that. It happened to secondary characters, mm-hmm. and it was basically these people that were in the back.
And that was just the one scene towards the beginning of the book.
The biggest BDSM stuff I feel like that was in this was basically when she went down on him and like he was like, I want you to cry or something. I want to fuck your face until you cry or something.
Oh yeah,
like
I want to fuck your mouth until you're crying, basically. Yeah. And then she's basically like,
do it.
Okay.
She's like, she ruin my mascara. That's what she tells
literally
him. She's
like, says, ruin my makeup. Like, ruin my makeup, Hades, and all of this stuff. So,
and yeah.
Even though it can be viewed as kind of a little bit, not a little bit, it is aggressive, but it's consensual aggressiveness. Yeah.
He tells her, he's like, if it becomes too much, like, slap my thigh or something like that. And she never does.
Yep. Nope. She never
and
does.
So I appreciated all of that.
Yeah.
Because she did make all of the parts that maybe some people aren't used to, or comfortable with, like, safe. She still made it feel safe.
Yep. No, so she really did a really good job about that. Like I said, incorporating the whole consent throughout, huge, huge deal. So let's turn the question around on you. What was your favorite sex scene?
Okay, like, I loved all of them, so that's an unfair answer for me to give, but I'm going to say...
Hard to pick one, right?
I really liked the first time that they're in the club when there are people around, and they're not on the stage, but they're, like, in the shadows. So people could still turn around and see, and some people were, but that in that place, like, he put her pussy on display, like he spread her legs open and like held them out with his thighs, and first I think he fingered her first, and then
I think turned her
around or something, and she rode him for a while,
and
then turned him back around so that she would come in front of everybody. I'm like, she's doing this like
she's spinning around like on like a merry-go-round. And then not
it's
just
a penis merry-go-round.
It's like she's half doing the splits on a merry-go-round, but also perched in a riding position. Like, it's just, it was very like.
Don't have the leg strength for that personally, good for you, Persephone.
Hey, keep doing those squats. I mean, goblet squats, sumo squats, just all of the squats to be able to even try to get yourself into that position. And to top it all off, you are in public.
In public.
Now you're in a shrouded, shadowy, mystery corner of public, but still public nonetheless.
And also not my kink, the public thing, but I'm not going to lie, like reading about it was hot.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's like, I would never do that, but hey, I'll read about it.
You know what? You can't say that. Maybe one day you'll find the right person who makes you want to put your love on display publicly.
I don't know. There is that fear about all those drones.
No, they're droids. Get them
droids,
right.
Droids. Droids from Star Wars. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, who you don't even need them because you're just already having sex in public. So
that's true.
What does it matter if anybody's videotaping?
Send in a drone either.
So maybe we should take this back a little bit to the deal. So the whole reason that, so Hades has a reputation for this public sex kink.
Yep.
That he likes to put on these scenes and he likes to be on display. It's one of the things that he really gets off on. Mm-hmm. So Persephone was basically seeking sanctuary from Zeus because, as we've already just said, he's a monster. So she goes to... My dog is scratching behind us. And that's all we can
hear. Don't mind that.
She seeks sanctuary with Hades, and they strike up a deal that she wants to be tarnished, basically, so that Zeus doesn't want her anymore.
Yep.
And so Hades reluctantly agrees. I mean, not really reluctantly, because he was like, she's hot.
Yeah, but he's basically like, yeah, okay.
But at the same time, he was like, I don't really negotiate orgasms. I think that's one of the things he said at one time. I don't negotiate orgasms.
Yeah, no, he does.
So even through all of that, and like him taking the upper hand and saying, you know, we're not going to do all of this to make you uncomfortable or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like he agrees to the deal that they'll fake date basically.
Yeah. In Greek mythology terms, yeah. Basically fake dating.
Is that how they would say that in Greek mythology?
Definitely not.
Fake dating. We're fake dating. No,
we're fake dating.
Which apparently we love this trope, term. Right? Because this has been pretty common in our podcast.
Yeah. All of them?
All of them.
No, Icebreaker, they weren't really fake dating, right? They were just kind of messing around.
Yeah, I think they just started to mess around. Yeah.
Fixer Up, The Deal, and this one, all fake dating.
Yes.
Hugely popular. Anyways, digress.
So they're fake dating, basically, and he agrees to this. And he's like, but if anybody's actually going to believe you, that if Zeus is ever going to buy into this thing that we're fake dating, like, we have to do it. We have to do these acts in public because they know that that's what I like. And so, you know, she agrees. She's
right.
Like,
they wouldn't buy it if there was no public scenes all.
She's like, I'm into it.
She didn't even bat an eyelash.
No, she's like, I'm interested. Let's go. And then when it came to it, she was very scared.
Yeah.
But it's one of the and things that like was he so already, great about him.
Yeah. He already kind of knew that she would be like, he's the way that this man anticipates things and just, oh, there's just so many things.
Well, again, I mean, he has a couple years on her, so he's got more experience, but yeah, like he is so careful of her and not that she really needed it. Like she needed help getting out of the upper city.
Yeah. But she wasn't a damsel in distress.
She was not. She wasn't like helpless.
Not by any stretch of the imagination.
But even with, and she like, you know, as he became the dom and her the sub, she still wasn't always that submissive.
No.
So, like, there were a couple of times when he's like, I want you to do this. And she's like, what if I say no? And he's like, well, then you have to pay penance or something.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I wasn't, you know, like, I wanted to do it anyways or whatever.
But I just wanted to see what you would say or what would happen.
She puts up a fight. Like, she's not just like, oh, yeah, I'm totally submissive in everything you say.
Yeah, no.
But the scene, I have to find it, the quote, where I'm going to butcher it, just trying to remember it off the top of my head, but where she's saying something like, he says something like, oh, down in this room, it's yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, the sir
and
thing.
She's like, oh, yes, sir. She goes right into it.
Sir.
It's so hot.
She doesn't even think twice. No, she just does it.
She's like, oh, that's what it takes to play this game. So like, I think my biggest, the biggest thing that made me sad about all of this is that it took almost 100 pages. No, it took over 100 pages to actually get into any of the sex.
Did it really? Because it didn't seem like that.
Yeah,
long.
Because I was like, when I was rereading, I was like, I remember this book being very hot. How is it I'm 100 pages in? And I haven't even gotten into any of the scenes yet.
But there was sex talk. Like, there was a lot of sex talk before.
Well, there was, pages, yeah. Right? And they like, sealed their deal with a kiss that was scorching.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think a lot of people are going to criticize this book saying the love happened very quickly. God bless you.
Excuse me. Sorry, I'm a little sniffly from my allergies tonight.
But, yeah, like, I would see how people could dissect this book and say that, but I forgot where I was going with
I'm
that.
Sorry, the sneeze probably just derailed the whole thing.
I just lost
you were saying 100 pages in and then you finally get to the first sex scene that made you sad. Not the sex scene, but
it did. I was very sad. Oh, so like she's touching him. He's touching her. He fingers her on the dais. That's the first scene.
Oh, the first scene,
it's 107.
They're by themselves, right?
Tell me your safe word happens on 105, and then yeah, he's like, where? I could have sworn that I have so many tabs. This is the thing about tabbing. Like, I need more notes with my tabs. But literally, he's like, take off your dress.
Every time that she takes off her dress. So and sometimes he's taking it off. Doesn't take long.
Okay, so he goes, Persephone, the snap in his tone has roots growing from my soles and freezing me in place. I glance over my shoulder. Yes? Yes, sir, is the proper response when we're in this room. He points at the spot I just vacated. Sit down. What happens if I don't obey like that? I snap my fingers. Like, I love her little feistiness.
Yeah.
And then he's back to watching me. His body's poised and tense. And then he says, then you'll be punished. And she says, I see. A choice then. Okay. There's no one watching right now and no one to play act for. I don't have to be perfect. And then she eventually says, like, yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's sort of thing. Take off your dress. And she's like, yes, sir.
And then it's off. And then pretty soon.
I need something to drink after that.
She's off too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just the whole book. I can't pick out one particular favorite part either. My favorite part is Hades.
So, okay.
Everything he encompasses.
First things first, he makes her come on the dais, I don't know how to say it properly.
I don't either.
And then they are like back up in the room or whatever. And she's like, I want your cock. And he's like, yeah. You want me so bad, like, show me what you want. And he's like, I want to see. And so she opens up her legs or whatever, and she's, like, dying because she just wants to touch him.
Yes.
And he's That's denying her. Wants.
Yeah.
So then they begin to masturbate, like, by themselves.
Yeah, separately, but in
But
front
he's,
of
like,
each other.
Doing it. I think he's, like, kneeling in between her legs when he's doing it. So he's, like, right there.
Yeah.
And
he's up real
and
close.
And then he starts, like, sliding against her clit. Like, yeah. I was like, oh, what?
Yes, I remember reading that and I was like,
whoa. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And then they both come from that friction.
We're doing this right now.
I appreciated that a lot because I'm not going to lie. That's one of my favorite things. Like, that's a really good way to spark all of the little feels.
All of the little electricity.
Yeah. So I was like, get it, girl. But
you're like rooting from the sidelines.
I am. I'm like, I've literally got like those big signs you hold up at like football games that say like, go Hades.
Give me an H. Give me an A.
Basically. And Persephone is like, shut up. I'm trying to get mine.
Right. She was like, this is my time, not yours. that was incredibly hot. Yeah, like all of the scenes, honestly, it's like, you don't get bored reading this book. You do not get bored reading this book.
No, not at all.
Yeah, I forgot about that scene. I'm glad you brought it up. So do we want to continue down your notes road, or do we want to talk about our new little segment that we have planned for this
episode? Well, how far in are we? Is it time?
We probably have a little bit more time probably for... some more
Should
notes.
We talk about like some of our favorite like quotes or something from the book or
I don't know. I have a couple. I said one of them already. Let me read you my other two and then you can talk about some of yours.
Okay.
Because I know for a fact you have a lot more than I do tabbed.
But I certainly don't have to read all of these out.
Well, and the other thing is I was reading, so I read the ebook version. So I read it primarily on my Kindle, but then when I was like on my lunch break at work, I read it on my Kindle app on my phone and I highlighted a couple of quotes on my phone app and I don't know if it carried over into my Kindle. I'll have to look. Okay, go for it.
Okay. So this is Hades and he says, I stroke her clit with my thumb, experimenting until I find the right motion that has her whole body going tight. I lean down until my lips brush her ear. Tomorrow night, this room will be filled with people. Everyone showing up to get a look at your pretty pussy, to hear how sweetly I can make you come. She goes, oh gods, will you put on a good show for them, Persephone? I can't help dragging my mouth along her neck. It's like the realization that I can touch her however I want, that she's dancing on the edge of orgasm, that she wants more. It's finally hitting me. This woman is mine, even if it's only for a few months.
That's a good one. That reminds me, every time that they say, oh, gods, instead of, oh, God.
Well, so and that, I think that's true. Like, I mean, I don't know that they ever said, like, oh, gods, but they always refer to them plurally.
Plural, yeah.
in Greek mythology because they're all, there's, you know, 13 of them.
So, funny story, as you were reading that quote, I discovered that I needed to scroll up. So, I actually have more quotes than just three.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say, like, you highlighted the exact same section. And I was going to laugh.
No, but that would have been pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. Okay, so one of mine is a couple short ones I have. Hades is a puzzle I could spend a lifetime exploring and never quite have the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hades talking about Persephone.
He's hot.
Oh, my God. Just
like,
everything
the way he cares about her is so hot. Because he's not a pushover. He's not, like, some so sweet, sappy, syrupy guy.
He's
hard and got like this tough exo, like he's got this reputation for being such a badass. The boogeyman. They literally call him the boogeyman.
Boogeyman of Olympus.
And with that kind of reputation,
yeah,
like, you know, you don't expect somebody who's like, let me bandage your feet and carry you around and show you my favorite greenhouse. And did you, I don't know if you noticed, but I got really excited about this, that there were like books in every, in like every, almost every room they went in where there was something, not in the playroom, but.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
They go to the greenhouse and there's like books on the coffee table. And yeah. They go, and like, he's got a reading nook in his house and in his bedroom, he's reading a book while he's.
You're like, yes for the I'm book like, lovers. Books. Like, no, I love
that's
that.
That's the book nerd in me is literally that.
I love that.
The one getting all excited about that.
This is one of my favorite quotes. If we were different people in different circumstances, I would get down on my knees and beg you to stay at the end of the winter. I would move heaven and earth and the underworld itself to keep you with me.
Mm. It's like, don't you just swoon over him?
Yeah. All day.
He's just, okay, so here's a little scene from the little co-masturbating scene that I enjoyed so much.
Yes.
She says, she's basically like, he's like, you don't even know what you crave, do you? It's okay. I'll show you. And she's like, please, I know what I like. And he goes, prove it. And she's like, excuse me?
I love that.
And he's like, show me. You want an orgasm so desperately? Give yourself one.
Yeah.
Like, and she's like, that's not what I want. He's like, yes, it is. Like, then it goes into the whole scene.
And spurs,
like, it doesn't dilute
the hotness
of the scene at all.
Nope, not at all. Yeah, that was so funny. He's like, you want that so bad? Then just give yourself one.
Yeah, prove it.
Okay, so here's a quote, which actually brings up a topic we haven't touched on yet in the book. So I'll start with the quote. I can't heal this man's scars, not internal or external, but surely I can help in some small way. You're beautiful to me. The scars are part of that, part of you. They're a mark of everything you've survived, of how strong you are.
Yeah.
Hades and his scars.
I know. Ugh. But the fact just that, like, okay, so he had a partner who had a very visceral reaction to his scars.
Very.
And it's because he's covered
most
him
of
away.
His torso, right?
Right. And so I think he maybe decided he was just going to have sex with his shirt on all the time.
Yeah.
And so he wouldn't even let her, like, touch his chest. Because he's got these scars.
Or turn on any lights or anything.
There was a fire that killed his parents and scarred him as a child.
Very brutally.
Very brutally. And so his ex-partner had this horrible reaction to it. And he got freaked out and decided he wasn't going to show that to anybody. Mm-hmm. And finally, Persephone's like, just like, let me in. I want to see all of you. And he's super nervous about it. Like, it's really cute to see him. Have
I know.
This like thing he's so self-conscious about, but so he takes off his shirt and she starts touching him and she's like, you're beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like everything about you, your scars are part of what makes you so beautiful.
Yeah.
And like, it was like, he needed that, you know?
Oh, for sure.
It was so sexy.
It was so like, I mean, and you just know he's hot.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Scars and all, like he is hot. Just, he's just, the embodiment of,
She's like, I don't even care about your scars. Give me your cock, right?
Right. She, the girl's got a one-track mind.
She literally
does.
She's like exploring everything about sexuality.
She's like, nothing is out of my reach, out of my grasp. Right. Like, I want to try everything.
Everything.
So do we talk about what we learn about the fire.
Sure, go for it.
Yeah, jump so in. It turns out that Zeus is the one who orchestrated that, and he murdered his parents. Mm-hmm. So on this whole, throughout this whole storyline, Hades is kind of like hellbent, pretty much on
his whole life has been like
destroying
Zeus.
I
want to murder him. He's gonna be unalive if I have anything to say about it.
Yep, he's like, he just wants to take down Zeus in any and every way possible. And so there's a scene towards the end of the book where that all kind of comes to a head and culminates. But like, just speaking to how Zeus is a horrible character, he uses that, continues to use that, and taunts Hades with it, with that information, and like, you know, talks about, brings it up whenever he can.
Well, Zeus holds the power in this situation because the gods in the Dark Olympus series are figureheads. So it's kind of like a job title. So you come into a new job title, it seems mostly by parentage or heritage.
Right.
Bloodline. But some of it is, I guess, nominated or voted in, right? Like, so Demeter didn't get in because her parent died and she took the throne of being Demeter. She was somebody else before, and then she became Demeter.
Right.
And so when Hades' dad died, his dad was Hades, and now he's gone. So then Hades became Hades. So we don't actually know if he had ever had like a name before. She never talks about that.
No, she
but
doesn't.
So they're just like these job. I mean, it's just like a job title, but it's like your name is your job title, basically.
Yeah.
So if Zeus dies, then one of his children will become
the next
Zeus.
It's like
the
royal family.
Becoming king or queen.
Yeah.
So, he does. He totally unalives Zeus. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Hades.
Topples out the window and bye-bye to Zeus. Yeah.
Although part of it was Zeus because they were fighting. They were having
a
struggle.
Yeah, no, it actually
and
wasn't like a...
he wasn't going to do anything.
Hades wasn't a
was
cold-blooded
like, okay,
murder.
I'm not like you. I'm not going to do anything. Mm-hmm. But they were close enough to a window that they had knocked out and Zeus fell.
Yep.
And, oh, oops.
Oops.
So now Perseus becomes the next Zeus.
Yep.
So Zeus is still alive in name, but it's not the Zeus that we knew. It's not the 60-year-old Zeus. It's now Perseus, who is now Zeus by the end of the book. But, you know, one of the things that I hated that really let you see the monster that Zeus was, I mean, we already knew from the get-go because he had his henchmen literally chase Persephone away, which was just crazy. Like, why would he do that? I don't understand.
Yeah, but, and he does it to
Eurydice. I'm still saying it wrong.
I don't even remember what Siri said.
Say it again.
He does that to her,
too. Her youngest sister.
That's how he lures Persephone back into the upper city.
Well, and he's trying to get her to come back. But this guy is, like, about to beat the shit out of her sister.
Yeah.
Eurydice.
She's like...
I'm just going to call her E because...
E. Good old E.
I'm just going to keep butchering her name otherwise, and I don't want to do that to y'all. So this guy is over there, and he's, like... trying to beat her up, and
she's injured, she's hobbling, she's like on the cusp of crossing the bridge into the underworld, lower city.
And now there's a treaty in place between the 13, which are the 13 figureheads of the Greek mythology, like 13 gods and goddesses. And so Hades is not supposed to cross the bridge, just as much as Zeus is not supposed to cross the bridge that way into the upper or lower city. Those are the opposites, right? So Hades crosses the bridge to go and save E.
Yep.
And deliver her to her sister Persephone on the other side of the bridge. And he knocks the shit out of the guy who was chasing E and caused her all of her injuries and stuff and scared her.
Now, Persephone originally wanted to cross back over.
Yeah.
And then he
was
like, no way.
That
no way in hell. Yeah, that was the whole thing.
We're not doing
that. Zeus was trying to lure her to do.
Yeah.
And so Hades was like, not on my life.
Yeah.
And so he makes a Charon.
Charon, I think. Ugh. Again, I might not be saying
Corona.
It right. Corona.
Charon. In my head, I was saying Charon. and he's like, do not let her move. And so he move from that spot. And so he like wraps her and will not let her move.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's like beating the shit out of this henchman.
And then he freaks out about it.
Yeah.
Well, and he's like, Persephone now knows that I'm a monster because she just saw me beat the shit out of this guy.
The part that I liked about that scene, though, not that it was like a good scene or anything, but the part that I liked is like while he's in the midst of like pounding this guy's face into the pavement, you just hear, he hears her from afar just going, Hades, stop.
Yeah.
And that brings him out of it.
Yeah.
And he remembers that.
Well,
too,
and he kept thinking that she was saying stop because she couldn't stand to see it. But really, like, later on in the book, you find out she was saying, stop, I don't want you to do something you're going to regret.
Yeah, it was all for him because he loved her.
You're not the guy who wants to murder everybody. Yeah, you're the guy who has indoor markets for all of your townspeople. Like, I want to go to this indoor market.
Right, the way they talked about this in the book. So endearing.
It just sounds so beautiful. And, like, year-round farmer's market, basically. Yeah. And so it's not just farmer's market. It's like clothing and candles. And I mean, you can still find those things at farmer's markets.
Isn't it called like the winter market?
Winter market. Yeah. And there's like, or the indoor market, I think. Mm-hmm. And then he said, when the weather's nice, it move it all outside to the square that's built for it. So it's
seriously,
like,
how adorable.
I know. He cares for his people. He's the only god in the lower city who's actually like, everybody else is in the upper city. Except for Hermes and Dionysus, who cross to
back
come and see Hades
forth,
because
basically
they become friends with, well, they think they're friends with Hades, and Hades would say, no, they're not my friends.
No, they're not. They just are,
but
like
they really
these
are
pests that show up.
I don't know. They're really funny. Like Hermes,
I
like,
really like the two of them.
She's got this like hangover cure where she's drinking ice cream and her coffee.
And her coffee.
And I was like, this is hilarious.
Yeah. So you said Dionysus?
Dionysus, I think.
I said Dionysus. Isn't it funny how we have
all I know.
Different
That's
pronunciations?
I'm like, seriously, listeners, we apologize if we're butchering these names.
So
if you know the right way,
any,
we apologize.
Like, historians out there or people that you majored in Greek mythology, my deepest apologies. Yeah. I know we're butchering this, but no, I agree,
but
though. I like both of those characters.
Yeah.
They're
like they just
so
brought like humor,
quirky,
to the,
and funny, exactly. Especially Hermes. But the kind of like part about Hermes, it's like, ooh, that kind of like makes your skin crawl a little bit, is that she has skill or gift of imitating other people's voices. So she like delivers these messages back and forth from like upper to lower city, or mainly to Hades. And like she opens her mouth and then just like Demeter comes out or Zeus comes
all
out
these
and
other,
they're
like exactly exact the exact same
that's
sound.
Like them talking
it's basically
through her
here's Zeus's voice almost like she's like a recording but she's not, she's actually the one saying it, which is just really cool. I like how Katie did that in the book.
I thought that was clever. This is like not really related to what we're talking about, but one thing that I pictured in my head as I was reading, especially the scenes that involve the upper city, is the upper city I pictured as basically like the capital in Hunger Games.
Oh.
Like these like elaborate, over the top, lavish parties and costumes and just the way that they dress.
Do you remember that they would like eat some pills or whatever that would make them sick so that they could just eat again?
Yep.
I'm like, ew.
Uh-huh.
I don't even like throwing up. Like, I'm not going to throw up so it's just so I can deliberately eat.
Oh, I have a huge phobia of throwing up. You wouldn't catch me dead doing one of those pills. But yeah, for whatever reason, whenever there was a scene that involved the upper city or just like Zeus and like these lavish like banquets, that's all I could picture was like the capital in Hunger Games and like how those people act.
I mean, I think that that's right because Zeus scrubbed the entire history of like all the architecture and everything from the upper city.
He just kind of like, I compared Zeus and President Snow a little
bit. Totally. Yeah, totally. I can see it now that you say it. I can see it.
Right.
Crazy.
But yeah, that's kind of like off topic. However, could be a good segue into our next little segment now that we're bringing up movie, basically. I mean, that's another book series, The Hunger Games, but referencing the visual aspect of the movies displaying the capital is, do you want to get into it or
go for it?
We came up with our own casting.
And we are in Hollywood, y'all. No, so, just kidding.
Yeah.
We wish we were
coming part soon of the casting to a movie crew. Theater near you. We wish.
Actually, before we get into that, do you mind if we talk a little bit about like this series? I know this is the first book of this series, but I was stalking Katie on her TikTok earlier, and apparently there's going to be 10 books in this series.
Mm.
So it's going to be a hefty one. It looks like there was a, what they're calling a 0.5 book before the number one, which so number one in the series, Neon Gods. So apparently before that, published afterwards, but before that was Stoneheart, which was the story of Medusa and Calypso. Mm-hmm. Then we've got Neon Gods, Hades, and Persephone. The next one is Electric Idol, and that's Psyche and Eros, mm-hmm. which I've heard is better than Neon Gods.
Really?
That's the buzz. I don't know.
What? I don't know how I feel about this.
Wicked Beauty, and that's Helen of Troy, Achilles, and Patroclus, which, again, I might not be saying Patroclus right, but... So that's like a throuple, I guess.
Huh.
And then Radiant Sin is Apollo and Cassandra. Cruel Seduction, this is book 5, is Aphrodite and Hephaestus. And then the next book that's coming out, Midnight Ruin and Dark Restraint. That's all that they have listed. That's up to book 7.
7, okay.
So, yeah. I just thought that was really interesting.
I had no idea that it was going to be 10 books in the series. Yeah, 10 in the works.
I didn't know either.
Well, as soon as I finished Neon Gods, I went... Awesome. Yeah, sounds like it. Sounds like I need to do some more research. After I finished Neon Gods, I went right to Goodreads and I looked up the... and read the synopses of the other three. Yeah. And I for sure can't wait to read Electric Idol.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that people say that it's like even hotter than Neon Gods.
That's the buzz.
Huh.
So
I just don't know how I can love a main male character more than I do Hades.
You know what? It's possible.
You know what?
If you think about how many like book boyfriends you have.
Oh my gosh,
like,
so many.
Like, thank God they don't all know each other so we can continue to have our little so trysts have our that fun. Don't actually exist.
No crossover boys, okay?
Depends on whatever. If what I've kind got crossover boys and they makes me a slut, then call me a book slut. A book boyfriend slut. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd be a slut for a lot of book boyfriends.
I know. I know this isn't on the topic of this book, but we've talked before about our love for Tessa Bailey. And mm-hmm. one of my favorite books of hers is It Happened One Summer.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love Brendan Taggart. Love, love, love. That's my book boyfriend if I could choose. Alternate to, like, in this whole realm of being a book slut, I almost wonder, like, when I read Hook, Line, and Sinker, that's the second one, I wonder if I'm going to fall in love with Fox. I haven't read it yet.
I know. I haven't either.
But
I need to.
He was kind of a hottie in that book, and I just, book wasn't about him, and it wouldn't happen one summer. I gotta think about that.
It's about Fox and...
But another guy that nobody ever talks about, maybe they do now. So Shadow and Bone just came back out. Season 2.
I know. You've been hyping this up to me. It's on my to-be-watch list on Netflix.
It's a series that I really like. But one of the characters... In the books, you don't meet him until the second book in the first trilogy of the Grishaverse. So his name is Nikolai Lantsov. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. His name is Sturhom. I don't know how to say it. It's super sexy. And he's like this pirateer. And he's fucking hot. But the way Leigh Bardugo writes him, he's got to be one of my favorite male written characters ever. And now he exists on the big screen.
I'm intrigued. Right now, my favorite male character written in, starting with a book series into film adaptation is, of course, Jon Snow from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
So this strikes me as like your Jon Snow,
my fantasy. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to say that's true.
I am really looking forward to... I have not a whole lot going on this weekend. Yeah. So honestly,
you're
going to
be binging.
That I'm going to carve out some
time. You know, it's 2 seasons. I think they're like 8 episodes each.
Okay. And it is on Netflix, right?
It's on Netflix, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited.
Putting a plug out there for Shadow and Bone. Now, I know it's not for everybody. Not everybody's into it. The books are very different from the show, but the show is still fantastic in its own right. Like, I still very much enjoyed it. Like, if I had not read the books, I think I could have enjoyed the show by itself. But when I watched season 1, I was like, I feel like I'm missing something.
Okay.
And so I reached out to my brother's girlfriend, who's the one who told me about Shadow and Bone to begin with. And thanks, Megan. and so I borrowed the books, the first trilogy from her, and I like, I mean, I ate them. Like, it, I went so fast through those books.
You ate them? How did that digest?
Then I bought them because I loved them so much. So I bought them, and there are, right now, 7 books.
Okay.
In the Grishaverse. I mean, aside from, like, the little short stories or additional things.
Yeah.
Like, The Language of Thorns. That's a, like, it's an additional book, but it's not actually a part of the storyline. So the first set, this is so not a podcast about Shadow and Bone, but thanks for letting me go into this. The first set is Shadow and Bone Trilogy. And then the second set is a duology for The Six of Crows.
Okay.
And then the third set is a duology for Nikolai, his story, and The King of Scars. So, anyways, he's fantastic. I think you'll love him, his personality, his character, the way he flirts, the way he, like, talks to people, the way he cares for people. He's just this all-around fantastic character. So yeah. If you don't fall in love with Nikolai Lantsov, then I don't know what's wrong with you. But
yeah.
Okay, I'm off my high horse.
You're hyping him up here. Oh my gosh. He's so dreamy. No, I know that, like, we have very similar tastes, I feel like. So I think it'll be just fine. Yeah. Okay.
So let's go into... Wait, hold on. Before we get into casting, should we spice meter this?
Yes,
because
we should.
Keep forgetting this.
We're so sorry. We keep forgetting to actually do the spice meter on the podcast for the last 2 episodes.
Yes.
We will always make sure to post it on our Instagram posts, which we have been, but
yeah,
we are bringing it back to the episode.
Yeah, definitely make sure you're following our Instagram for yes. all of that information. But we do apologize for accidentally
so
leaving
sorry.
It out. I think in the last episode, we were like, we need to remember to talk about it.
Yeah,
and then we still forgot. So let's go ahead and throw it out there. Spice meter. Are we going on a 5 spice here?
I was going to go with 5. Yep.
I was going to go with 5.
Yeah.
Now, I know other people who maybe read only smut or maybe read only like... erotica, hardcore, BDSM yeah. type stuff. They might not agree with that.
Probably not.
Because their version of like spice or whatever is, it's a different form of spice, I think. I don't think it's any less the spice that we give it. I just think it's a different form. They're in a different realm of spice than we are. For us, you like, you know, your regular Joe Schmo
right.
sex with
and like, we're not reading
all the hot stuff.
Yeah.
Like, we like all the hot stuff. It's just that
don't
I'm
get
like
us wrong, but we have a kind of more of a wide range of on this podcast as far as like
so,
levels.
So
stuff,
I'm gonna say 5.
Oh
I'll
yeah,
agree
I'm
with
in
you on that.
100% in agreement. 5.
Spicy, spicy, spicy.
Spice meter rates this a 5 ding, ding, ding. Pepper. Okay.
So okay, casting, let's get into it.
Okay, so I was up so late last night because I finished the book and I was like, I've got to cast this because I am just hoping and praying that they make this into a movie someday. Like, okay, they're going to have to really kind of like tailor it obvious reasons.
They were
reasons.
Able to do that with 50 Shades of Grey, right? They were able to tailor
true.
That down.
Now, I didn't read the books or actually... watch the movies, but
I'm just assuming.
But I'm sure that you know.
From what I've
sure
heard,
did, but
it sounds like that would be pretty similar. If they made this into a movie, they would have to somehow.
Oh, for sure. Like they can really play into the advantage of the shadows. I think during the sexy times, if we're doing like on the big screen and we're just gonna keep it like. R and not NC-17 or not rated
or like clear your browser history
or honestly Netflix could pick it up and because
hey,
there's a lot of like
we'll hype you guys
there's
up
some
here.
Like racy stuff on Netflix
oh yeah
and there are plenty of things on Netflix that aren't rated so you never know but I really do want them to make this
go
into
Netflix.
A movie someday. Yeah, shout out Netflix. No.
No, I agree.
They don't need any
shout-outs. I would love to see this. And now that I know that there's 10 of these, like, make it into a series.
Oh, please do.
Right?
Yes.
Like a freaking really hot series. Okay, I'm
like the first season.
I'm
so Hades and Persephone. Okay, so let me pull up my notes. Because last night when I had messaged you and I was like, okay, I've got to know, have you fan casted this yet? And you were like, oh yeah, totally. And then earlier today you had sent me a message and you're like, okay, so like how many characters are we gonna, and I literally have like all of the
every character in this book has now been casted officially by Amanda. Way to go, by the way. I think that's awesome.
Sorry.
I did like the big ones, in my opinion, yeah. And that's where I stopped. So four.
Okay.
I did four, like five. I mean, I have six.
Yeah.
Possibly, but the big four basically are the ones that I casted.
So Hades, I had a couple different ones that I was playing around with. At first I thought I was going to go with Richard Madden. Again, Game of Thrones fan here, big Game of Thrones fan. But there was just something missing about him and like what I felt he could portray. And so I landed on Aidan Turner for Hades. And I know y'all can't see this. You're just listening, but I'm still going to show Tony. This is the picture that I went off of.
Ugh.
Right.
Okay. I'm not even going to lie, but like when he was, okay, I crushed hard on him on The Hobbit, which is weird to say, but I'm short. So I know he was a dwarf.
Everybody has their thing, you know?
He's hot.
Okay. If you think he's hot in The Hobbit.
When he had the long hair and he's like just hitting on the elf who's like twice his size.
Just wait. You've got to watch at least the first episode of Poldark. Because that's what first introduced me to Aidan Turner is Poldark. And it's like a period drama. Oh my gosh. Him in this series, he is so brooding and he's intense and he's like, he can really portray like just commands people. But also has like a deep, passionate, like loving side. Like he portrayed all of those characteristics in the show Poldark. And so when I thought of him and then I pulled up pictures and I'm like, yes, this is Hades. sorry, you can, if you want to say who you want for Hades, well, I got to pull up this picture.
I've got a couple. Okay. Because tell me. Couldn't decide or, you know, I'd be okay with any of these castings. So Aidan Turner made my list.
No way. Yeah.
Because he's fucking hot. So hot. But I also have Kit Harington, who you said.
Oh, Kit.
You ended up vetoing him.
I vetoed him because he will just forever be Jon Snow to me. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I don't know. Like, I think he can just pull off like the Dark Tux outfit.
I agree with that.
He's yummy. Okay, second is a lesser known actor to me. I've only seen him in one thing, but I thought he was really sexy in this movie, and I want. Okay, I can agree with that picture of Aidan Turner. Hey yo.
Yeah, he's
what
like
you got there,
hatching some like wheat in the field in Poldark.
Does that need to go on our Facebook page, on our Instagram so that people know?
Yeah, we'll post. this will be an Instagram post actually. Our fan castings at a later date, but
okay. So one of the other guys that I have is, and I'm probably gonna say his name wrong, and I apologize again. Like I think you're hot if you're listening to this, Tenoch Huerta, Tenoch.
I do not know this.
He plays Namor in...
That's right, because I haven't
Wakanda
seen this
Forever.
Yet.
And I feel like he's got the dark, broody vibe. Like, he was... I felt like he was so sexy in this movie.
Was this his breakout role?
I don't know. So I need to go back and look and see what else he's been in. But I was like, dude, you're hot. Like, you're hot. Why are you not in more things?
I'd have to see him without the pointy ears.
Okay, that's yeah. I am showing you a picture of his character.
Yeah,
as
he's
Namor.
Got like pointy
but,
ears. Like,
Hades has horns in like actual Greek mythology. So
right, but is this actual Greek mythology?
You know, no, it's not. So okay. Also, Colin O'Donoghue,
Captain Hook.
Straight up, I have never been in love with a villain more than Captain Hook in Once Upon a Time.
You know what's funny? It's funny that you bring him up because lately I have really been. Toying with the idea of rewatching Once Upon a Time.
You should.
It's such a good show. Although, honestly, I feel like it went downhill a little bit.
It did. At the end, that last season was totally unnecessary, but he was still in it, and I was totally swooning over him. I think he's so hot.
So
he's got a delicious Irish accent. I'm like, hey.
But it's the permanent eyeliner for me. The the way whatever. That he
looked. Oh, I didn't even care about the eyeliner. I was like, you rock it. You are so hot.
That's a good choice.
I also threw out, now don't come at me for this, but remember, we're calling Hades a cinnamon roll. I'm going to throw out Zachary Levi. I think yes. He's so fucking hot.
He's
such like your all-American guy.
Yeah.
But would you not like to see him turn up the kink?
I would. Honestly, I would. And I feel like he could go into like that commanding, like just, I feel like he could do that easily. I don't know what it is about him. Maybe it's like a secret closet thing that he does on the reel.
But he seems like such a... Okay, yeah. So what's the cinnamon roll trope? Or what's his actual title in real life? Because he's...
Like,
not
actor?
A hard ex... Well, no, like his actual person. So he seems just like your all-American guy next door. So if he's not got the exterior where he's all tough... Like a cinnamon roll. What's the other word you would
give
him?
He doesn't have the hardened exterior. Yeah. He's relatable. He is down to earth.
He's so hot.
I mean, there's so many things about...
I've been crushing on this guy for years.
He's kind of local.
He is local.
He's local, ladies and gentlemen. He is not very far from us.
So apparently he's had a really rough life, too. Like, so one of our friends actually told us... Oh, and that reminds me because I got to talk about something else. One of our friends actually... read his book. She got it signed, I think. She saw him in person.
I actually have a copy of his book.
Straight
up
mad at her. I was like, I'm sorry, you got to see Zachary Levi in person and you did not take me.
Right. I have been in love with this man.
I didn't know who he was. And I was like, oh, I just, my heart, you don't even know. You don't even know.
I have been in love with this man from the first episode of Chuck. Let's be real.
Uh huh. Yep.
Yes, so I
even
want
he has
to
like long curly hair and everything.
Oh my gosh,
he was
yes.
the Geek Squad. So no, what was it called? The Nerd Herd.
The Nerd Herd.
Oh,
love so we're gonna get back to that story, but let's
okay.
Continue
so let's
with
go
our
to Persephone.
Casting. So Persephone, I'm hard and fast on this one. Florence Pugh.
So,
and I'm gonna show you the picture that I chose for that because I honestly like she just. To me, I think she embodies Persephone.
I think she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But I want to see her as Psyche.
I got someone else for Psyche.
I don't know. I feel like she would be the perfect Psyche.
That's character. So funny that we
and
didn't
now
even
that
share
I'm
this with each
Psyche
other beforehand.
Like, I know.
She's in the second book. The
same, so we have Aiden Turner the same, and we have Florence Pugh in our lineups, just not the same character.
Yeah.
But if Electric Idol is fucking hotter than Neon Gods, I want her in it.
Wow, she just took out her headphones there.
I hit my headphones.
Are you all right? Oh my gosh.
Ow. No, yeah.
Okay. I'm not saying no to that. Okay. I just like her with Aiden Turner. I don't know. I just like two of them.
Okay.
So since we're on Psyche, I have.
Oh, wait. I didn't say mine for.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
But tell me who your Psyche is since I've already thrown that out.
Okay. My Psyche is. Lily Reinhart. Did you ever watch Riverdale?
Nope.
You didn't watch Riverdale?
No.
This is my Psyche.
I think I just have to see her act. She's very pretty.
But also apparently
Psyche is a little bit more plus size.
Oh. Okay.
Which I'm very grateful for. Thanks for writing plus-size characters in romance novels, Katie Robert. Okay, I have, for Persephone, since we'll go back, Caitlin Dever, or Deaver. She played on Last Man Standing. She played on Last Ticket to Paradise. She's so innocent looking, but I feel like she's one of those girls that, like, if given the chance to show her sultry side, she would. And she'd rock it. She's gorgeous.
I could see it.
Okay. So she's one option.
Okay.
Another option is... don't be mad at me for this one. Phoebe...
Oh.
Diviner?
Okay.
I don't know how to say her last name.
Daphne Bridgerton.
Daphne Bridgerton.
I just don't think I can see... I can't see her and not think Bridgerton, though.
I I'm so ready to see her in something else. Like, I think she did a great job.
She did a really good
job. She was in, that was already a very sensual pub, like,
yeah,
everything that they did, I thought was very, very hot. So anyways, I think she could do really good at playing that, like, I'm a little bit innocent, but, like, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
Right? Because she, that's what she was in Bridgerton. My third option would be Lily James.
I like Lily James.
I just think she's beautiful. I think
she's got
that, like, sunshine.
It's funny because she played Cinderella.
She played Cinderella. She played Mamma Mia, too.
She played Cinderella opposite Richard Madden, and I almost picked Richard Madden for Hades, so I don't know. Maybe we're on the
phone. Oh, hey, yo.
But I still stand firm on Florence Pugh.
Okay.
So
who next? But
I really like Lily James.
Lily James is a good option.
You might be turning me a little bit.
All right.
Let's just stay on the train of the sisters. So the next one for your...
Callisto or E?
E. I picked Elle Fanning for E.
Okay.
And at first I picked Dakota Fanning, and then I was like, actually, Dakota was the oldest. Well, in real life, the actress is the oldest out of all of the sisters that I picked. But she's supposed to portray the youngest sister. Yeah, and so I was like,
he's the youngest.
No, so. I want to go with Elle Fanning for E.
Okay.
That's what I see for E. So
very innocent looking. And
now, you probably didn't pick the other sisters, did you?
I did not pick the other sisters. So you're on this.
So then the other one, Callisto, I picked Julia Garner.
Oh.
From Ozark.
Yeah, I'm going to join you on that.
I was like. Yeah, I can see it.
Although they did say that all of the sisters had different dads.
Yeah, so they don't probably all have
to look like each other.
Right, which I know I stayed on like the blonde hair, blue eyes, fair skin. But
okay, if we're going to talk about that, let's talk about mom. Okay, Demeter. I am on the Jennifer Aniston train
really? For Demeter. Really? You still on that? Because you texted me earlier today and I was like, oh. Okay,
I can see it. Like, I could also go for, like, Demi Moore, but I like the sunshiny kind of more. Like, sunshiny, but bad. Like, think about, what's that show she did with, like,
Jason? The Morning Show?
No, the movie she did with Horrible Bosses.
Don't hate me, but I don't think I ever saw
that. Oh, my gosh! You have
Jason Bateman was in it, though, right?
You have homework this weekend. Shadow and Bone.
I have a lot of Horrible Bosses. Gosh.
I hope you're not doing anything but watching TV this weekend, because that's going to take up your whole weekend.
Well, I do need to go to IKEA, but I think I'll have plenty of time.
Okay. So Jennifer Aniston.
I think Jennifer Aniston has the range that she could do it. My pick was Kate Blanchett.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And I was spurred by thinking about her, how she portrayed the villainess in Thor Ragnarok. I forget what her name was in that.
Oh, she was the sister.
Talk about range, though, because then she also played in Lord of the Rings. Like, she was
She's fantastic. I love Kate Blanchett. She
is such an awesome actress. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to have to go with Kate Blanchett. Now, a couple of my runner-ups, per se. Persephone. Couple of my runner-ups.
Oh, so you had alternates.
Demeter. Yeah, I didn't write them down, but I think I remember them. Angelina Jolie.
Oh, interesting. I picked Jennifer.
Angelina Jolie. And then, what was my other one? Robin Wright. Angelina Jolie and Robin Wright were my other two runner-ups.
Yeah.
For Demeter. But yeah, Kate Blanchett is my favorite.
Again, we don't know if we're saying that right.
I'm so sorry for the mispronunciation. So did you have anybody else? Zeus?
I have Zeus.
Who do you got for Zeus?
I have Eric Dane.
McSteamy.
Okay, but did you see him in Redeeming Love? He played the bad guy.
I still have not seen that.
And I'm like, he would actually be really good as a bad guy. He's so fucking hot. I don't care how old this dude gets.
What is up with that bleach blonde hair in that first picture?
I don't know.
I think that
he cares about his hair. Have you seen his body?
Whatever. Zeus is not supposed to be hot.
He is. He's very good looking, but also like
from afar. No, they actually say like, but from up close.
She just said that he's creepy.
I never pictured him as hot. However, I do have a little bit of a skewed
Alec Baldwin.
Oh.
Because he plays creepy.
Yeah.
He plays that like creepy, controlling, powerful, hungry member.
I don't know if Alec's going to be acting anymore, though, after that mishap.
What happened? I don't even know about that.
You don't know what happened?
No.
He, on the set of one of his movies, there was a gun that was loaded, and he accidentally fired it and killed one of like the, like a set person or something. So yeah, he's actually on trial.
I didn't even know.
I don't know if it's like involuntary manslaughter or something, but like, I don't know if Alec's going to be acting anymore. I mean, it was obviously a complete accident, but
then I'll stick with Eric Dane.
That aside, I can see him.
So who's yours?
More than.
Yeah. I didn't know about that.
Well here's before I say who I picked for Zeus, here's why my image of Zeus is a little bit skewed. Did you see the most recent Thor movie? Where Zeus is Russell Crowe in like a fat suit.
Yeah.
That's who I picture as Zeus.
So are you still picturing Russell Crowe?
It was really hard for me not to picture anybody but Russell Crowe in a fat suit for Zeus.
Well, that's like watching the Disney movie of Hercules and picturing Hades as a blue guy with blue fiery hair.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm just telling you.
No,
like,
I'm just
why
kidding. I'm just kidding.
Okay, so my
it's totally
pick,
justified. But there's nothing wrong with Russell Crowe playing Zeus either. I think he could.
No, he did a fantastic job. But like that's why I wasn't picturing Zeus as being like overly attractive for whatever reason.
Yeah, because you already had him in your head that way.
But in Neon Gods, I would say that Zeus is fit and he's just older. But he's just.
I mean, there is that scene where he's like. Screwing somebody
he's
in this
doing
bathroom
someone, yeah.
right before he gets unalived.
It's his character that makes him extremely
he's such
ugly.
A dick.
So, anyways, I picked Rufus Sewell.
Yeah,
he just is. He's so good at playing the villain. He is so good at playing the villain. Let's see.
He's a
Knight's Tale
actress. He's actor.
Actor.
I've got to stop drinking.
Well, it's a good thing the pitcher's empty.
The pitcher's empty. I'm on my last few sips.
Did you ever watch A Knight's Tale with Heath Ledger?
Oh, it's been ages.
He plays the bad guy in that. He also plays in Tristan and Isolde.
But he's not the bad guy.
He's not a villain.
He's a really good guy in that movie.
And then I swear there's another movie that he plays.
He's been in a lot.
He's a very good actor.
Yeah.
He's very skilled. But I just felt that he would be a good Zeus.
Okay.
And then I have three more characters. One is very much a supporting character, but all I could picture for Charon or whatever was Sam Claflin.
Okay.
And then,
he almost gives off like Tomness vibes from
Narnia. I guess I could kind of see that.
His hair in the picture you just showed.
The hair,
Which I think in mythology. Gee, I thought that he was. Is he a satyr? He might not be. Keep going.
Is he a what?
A satyr?
You know more Greek than I do. It's all Greek to me.
Satyr. So Tomness was a satyr.
Horse god believed by the ancient Greeks to have the ears and tail of a horse or goat and to enjoy rowdy pleasures.
Rowdy
Mr.
pleasures.
Tumnus didn't enjoy rowdy pleasures.
Oh, maybe he's a faun. Oh, maybe not.
He was not a satyr. I can almost guarantee you that.
No, I mean not in this, but I mean in mythology.
Mr. Tumnus or
no, Charon, Charon, whatever. We're going all over the place. I'm sorry.
Okay, so Hermes.
Uh huh.
I had a hard time casting Hermes, but she's such a great character. So I'm not 100% sold on my choice, but I did land on, now I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name. I'm probably mispronouncing her name, let's be honest. But it's Nathalie Emmanuel. It's either Nathalie or Natalie, and the H is silent. But she is also a Game of Thrones actress. This is who I picked for Hermes.
Okay.
Super pretty, by the way.
She's gorgeous.
So pretty. But I feel like, so her character in Game of Thrones is very likable. She doesn't have like a bad bone in her body. So it was a little hard for me to picture her as Hermes just because of like the coyness of Hermes. But I feel like she can do it. And then the...
So I would pick Leslie Ann Brandt for Hermes.
What is she looks familiar? What is she doing?
She played Mazikeen in the TV show Lucifer.
I have not. She's already played like an underworld of Lucifer. But kind of if she already plays in an underworld type of thing, then yeah.
I just think she's a great actress, okay, but
wow, that's quite the dress.
I mean, she's gorgeous.
I like it.
But
who would you pick for my last one is Dionysus.
Dionysus. I put Adam Sandberg.
I love Adam Sandberg.
Dionysus.
So for Dionysus, I picked Jesse Eisenberg. Similar look.
Not very far away from...
Right?
Right.
Jesse Eisenberg and Adam Sandberg.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just picked Jesse Eisenberg. I think he's got good range.
He's played a good villain in a lot of things. So
he plays Lex Luthor.
He could play great. He could play weird. He could play...
He's also in... did you see the Now You See Me movies? The magic movies?
Mm-mm.
Ooh, those are good movies.
Yeah.
That's Woody my homework. That's your homework. Woody Harrelson is in those movies, but Jesse Eisenberg.
They're like magic or something, right?
Yeah, it's like illusionist type, magic-y, okay. Which also The Illusionist, great movie.
I've seen that one. That one's
Edward
good.
Norton. Oh my gosh, I love that movie. Anyways, digressing. But yeah, Jesse Eisenberg is who I picked for Dionysus.
I would agree with that. I think that's a good choice.
Yeah. So that is. Our fan casting of Neon Gods, and like I said, we'll share all of our pictures, right? Like, I was up so late last night, like, way later than I should have
been.
And
we didn't even, like, plan on that. We just had both been, like, secretly casting it, and then...
It was just really hard not to while I was reading the book, because you just want so badly these characters to come to life, and then you're like, oh, I just want to see it like play out. And then I'm like, oh, well, let me just fan cast this. And so we might be playing around with the idea of this segment coming in the future to other episodes. But we will share all of our fan cast pics and pictures on our Instagram at a later date.
That's right. So
you've got a story that you need to share.
And okay. So one of our listeners let me know that they threw their back out because of this book. Not because of this book, but this book lit the fiery passion in them so much so that they had an experience with their partner and they threw their back out. And I was like, I laughed a whole lot. I'm not going to lie. I told them I laughed a lot.
Oh my gosh, me too.
And then after a few text messages, I finally said something like, but honestly, are you okay? Like, is your back okay?
Like, oh my gosh. LMFAO.
Yeah.
But for real, are you okay?
I'm literally on the floor. Thank you for sharing this with me. I am cracking up that this book was so hot that you were inspired to do something in the bedroom that therefore caused you to throw your back out. But also, I'm really sorry to hear about your back. Like, I just want to make sure you're okay.
Did you ice it, like heat and ice, alternate 20 minutes?
Tell the doctor if you go into the hospital for that.
Definitely just say, yep, sex injury. What can I say?
Yeah. Do you guys get weirded out when people come into the hospital with like sex injuries?
Nah, bro. Nah. Happens all the time. Now, I can't speak for, like, I work in cardiology, outpatient, but when I used to work
sometimes inpatient. Sometimes they have heart issues.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, sex is brought up actually pretty quite frequently in the cardiology office, especially like after you have a heart attack. And I'm like, okay, doc, when can I like, you know, start having sex again and stuff like that?
When I put my girl on a dresser again and
slam her up against the dresser
and grab her neck and like sting my finger. Yeah.
Anyways, when I used to work inpatient and I worked on my very first nursing job was on an adult telemetry, which is a fancy word for cardiac, basically, or any patient that's wearing a cardiac monitor is on tele. And a couple times, so I worked night shift, and any patient that is wearing a tele monitor, the monitors transmit to the nurse's station. So you can see all of your patients and what their rhythm is. And a couple times there it was like the middle of the night and we didn't have visiting hours. So people could visit whenever.
I
I think I know where this is going. Yeah. You'd be like watching, you'd be sitting at the nurse's station, you'd be charting, it'd be like, you know, 2:30 in the morning because I work night shift. And you just start hearing ding, ding, ding. And you're like, oh, let me check the monitor. And this patient who had been like, you know, normal sinus rhythm,
just
like
thank you for regular not saying that he was rate, like comatose or something, because that would
regular
been
heart rate. Well, yeah, I was not working in the ICU. It was just like a observation unit. Heart rate spiking, 160.
Oh my
like,
God.
Oh, well, let me go check on this patient. Yeah, they're having sex and was still on the monitor. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Did you
it
like
actually
saw
comes
them?
Up a little bit more frequently. So when that happens, you like really go in with like a very loud knock before you open the door. And then, there was definitely some stuff happening in there. But, actually it kind of comes up a little bit more frequently in cardiology than you would think. But in general, I don't get a lot of sex injuries at work.
Well, I mean,
so you know who you are. I really hope your back is getting better.
Yeah. Make sure you ice that if you need to. But also, Amanda's an RN.
Off.
So if you need some help, reach out to us and we'll hook you up with some medical information.
Yeah. But yeah, that story cracked me up.
It's so funny.
And I wanted to know, like
I love it.
If there was a specific
also, please
theme.
Continue to give us this information, you guys, because
yeah, again, send us in a voice memo. Hey,
look,
if
we're
you're feeling
we're,
up to it.
We'll put it out there anonymously. Know. You know, you don't even have to send your name with it. Just tell us.
Just
give us
write
stories.
It in a say it in a voice memo, and we'll read it on the next episode. But yeah, that seriously cracked me up. We have been going on. I think it's probably about time we wrap this up. We're about an hour and 35 minutes.
Oh my gosh. Casting took a long time. Or of the other things that we talked about.
I think it was like everything.
Everything. No wonder
about.
I'm so tipsy.
Before we wrap this up, any last thoughts, Tony? Or quotes or anything?
I'm just really excited about reading my next Katie Robert
book. Me too.
Book.
Yeah, it's going to be Electric Idol.
It's this series or one of her other series, she has a lot of a variety of characters in her books. So make sure you check her out at katierobert.com. And she's got swag. She's on like TikTok and Instagram and everything. So we've linked her website in our show notes.
Show notes for this episode.
As well as the drink recipe and everything else that
recipe
you
can
are
be
dying to know. But if you're not following us on Instagram, you definitely should be.
Yes, at Chiclet and Libations on Instagram. So with that, thanks again for joining us here on the Chiclet and Libations podcast with your hosts, Amanda
and Tony.
Subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or Anchor. Catch our next episode where we will be discussing Maggie Moves On by Lucy Score. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love for you to subscribe, share, rate, and leave a review. Don't forget to connect with us, like we said, on our Instagram at Chiclet and Libations, where you'll find our drink recipes, show notes, upcoming books, and so much more, like fan casting. We are Lit Chicks reviewing Chiclet.
Stay spicy.